when Don Raglan and Jackie asked me to speak at Ten Makers, I said, sure. And he said, wow, that was quick. And I said, he said, the Judy of 2003 wouldn't have jumped into that so quickly. I said, well, the Judy of 2022 knows that if Don Raglan is saying, hey, do you want to speak? I probably need to do it because it's probably on the red phone from the Lord. So this is why I'm here today. I am very much enjoying, as I told you, Pastor, I'm very much enjoying the Tent Maker series. I have been listening to them myself. So like I said, it is a great honor to be able to present to you today. Let's just open with a word of prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing each of us here today. Thank you for the fellowship that we have with each other, and may the words I speak bring glory to your name, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today my talk is about the influence of biblical leadership. Since most of you don't know me, let me begin by introducing myself. As Becky said, my name is Judy McCaskey. I live in Sparta. I work in Rickman at VCA Raglan O'Reilly Animal Hospital. And I've been at Raglan O'Reilly and VCA Raglan O'Reilly for 24 years. So to begin, I want to share with you how I became led to Raglan O'Reilly. So I graduated college with a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture, and I'd worked as an assistant farm manager, and also I worked in banking. So I never intended to make a career of banking. It was just a job I took for a season in my life. And when I started looking at other jobs, a professor I had was at Dr. Raglan's getting medicine for his dog, and he heard about the position that was open. So he called me and told me about the opening, and I kind of hesitated. To which he said, get your butt up there. He was not a man to mince words. So, needless to say that I did, and I've stayed, and I've taken a route, and I'm probably not going to leave unless the Lord really comes in and says, hey, go somewhere else. It's very much the adage, grow where you're planted. So, I was a Christian. Let me tell you a little bit about my background in the faith. I was a Christian before coming to work at Raglan O'Reilly. And I was raised in a Christian home with loving parents, three siblings. We have a great family. I chose to follow Christ as a teenager, thanks to John and Terry Sims, who dedicated themselves to bringing young people to Christ. I thank God for sending me to Raglan O'Reilly, because their business was built on kingdom principles. Many of us who've worked there were impacted to deepen our faith. And the friendship and mentoring of Don and Jackie helped me to grow my faith and my leadership skills. They pointed me back to Christ and introduced me to who the Holy Spirit truly is. And I've grown in my understanding of my faith in ways that are very hard to express. Even my family members have been impacted through their studies in ministry. So when I started at Raglan O'Reilly in 1997, I really had no practical management experience. And over the next 15 years, I watched and learned and was mentored by people who walked out their faith daily in their actions and not just their words. So I'm going to share three principles that built our team and opened the doors to our being impacted by biblical leadership. And for those of you who don't know of the book, although many of you may, I'm getting these from Lead Like Jesus, okay, between... it's a very good book on leadership skills. So for those of you, I'll have that in my notes. I need to explain a little bit of that I've always been an employee. Okay, so I've never been a business owner like you all. I've always been an employee of a business. However, in my present role as the hospital manager, I am responsible for maintaining that healthy business for not only the staff, but also for my employers. So I know the Lord placed me in that position for this time. But even though I'm an employee, I'm also a leader. So according to Ken Blanchard and Phil Hodges in this book of Lead Like Jesus, leadership is a process of influence. Anytime you seek to influence the thinking, behavior, or development of people towards accomplishing a goal in their personal or private life, you are taking on the role of the leader. So how do we define biblical leadership? Again, according to the book, biblical leaders have their life in the proper order. They have answered two very important questions. They know whose they are and who they are. They know that God is our primary authority in their life. And they know their life is lived to please Him. So it is displayed as servant leadership. In Mark 10:45, "For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to serve, but to not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many." Servant leaders have two roles: a visionary role that sets the course and destination, and then the implementation role that serves by empowering and supporting. So how many of you have employees in your businesses? Anyone? Okay. So in business, your employees will be your biggest asset and also your biggest expense, correct? So would you agree that hiring and retaining good employees is a very big challenge? So what makes employees want to join a team? This is where you can answer back. What makes an employee? If you are an employee, what makes you want to stay with the team? Any thoughts?
Having people who that are your bosses and they still like are there for you and protect you, like they have your back.
Right. That's perfect. That's exactly it. Most of us want to be a part of a team that has a vision. We have shared values, right? And we want to feel appreciated. So the first step to this is to share your vision and set your course and destination. According to Ken and Jesse Stoner in their book, Full Steam Ahead, The Power of Vision, a compelling vision has three parts. To engage the hearts and minds of others, you need to communicate your purpose, you need to show them a picture of the future, and your values. So a compelling vision tells people who they are, where they're going, and what will guide their journey. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus called the disciples to be what? Fishers of men, right? Then in Matthew 28:19-20, he outlined his picture of the future. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So when I first started at Raglan O'Reilly, I was embarking on a new career. I had worked in a small vet clinic through college, and when the opportunity came to apply for this job, I wasn't sure I wanted to go back into the veterinary field. So all I had to go on was my previous experience in a one-doctor practice, a tiny little practice, and I couldn't see that that could be a career. But after I interviewed, as I drove home, I got more and more excited about the position. The vision of what they were building and wanting to expand to was exciting, and I saw the opportunity to make this a career and not just a job. In that interview, I saw the purpose: veterinary medical care in a state-of-the-art facility, and also my role in the future of managing the staff, doing accounts payable, HR, accounts receivable. But all of it was very overwhelming, but it was exciting. And so I caught that vision, and I wanted that job. And I was super excited when he called me. So the next step that you have to do is to share your values with your team, okay? So we're going to take it from you've got your vision, now you're going to need to share your team what your values are. So values are the non-negotiable principles that define character in a leader. And why should we state our values? Because values drive the behavior of those working on your purpose. People need to know what to focus on. For example, if I have a CSR who does not think being kind is important, but yet it's very much an important value of ours, right? Should they be working at the front desk greeting people? Probably not the best fit, right? However, on the flip side of that, if you have an employee that is very kind and sees that as their own value, then what kind of employee do they make at the front desk? Right? They're the ones that's asking about that family member who's sick. They're the ones helping people in the door and carrying the cat and carrying the products back out, right? That kindness matches the values that both the employer and employee have. So Jesus set his priorities before us in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And he said to them, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and prophets." So if you think about it, Jesus coaches us by the Holy Spirit to keep following his purpose and his values. So that's what we should do for our team members. So what values define you in your business? Have any of you written down your values for your business? So things like integrity, kindness, honesty, respect, efficiency, knowledge, right? Keep in mind that we may have many values that define our businesses. But for your employees, it's recommended that you stick to three or four, okay? Because people can have a hard time focusing on more than those. So in Galatians 5:22, we have the fruits of the Spirit, right? The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those should match in our biblical setting. Those should match our values, right? And we may pick, when you go to declare your values, you may have three that encompass those, right? If you're showing respect, then kindness should be in there, right? Gentleness should be in there in showing respect, right? So they overlap. So once you've defined your values, the third principle to live your to do is to live your values. Living your values in front of your employees builds trust, and being trustworthy is very important for leaders. In Exodus 18:21, Moses' father-in-law directed him, correct? But you should select from all the people able men, God-fearing, trustworthy, and hating dishonest profit, placing them over the people as commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Right? Psalm 19:7. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. So trust is built through showing integrity, honesty, caring, repentance, apologies, and appreciation. Without trust, it is impossible for any organization to work effectively. Trust between employer and employees leads to empowerment, and empowerment builds healthy teams. Being willing to empower your staff to handle situations also builds confidence. Failure to empower is one of the signs of very ineffective teams. If we look to Jesus for our example of this, he called his disciples, he trained them, then he empowered them to go. And he does us. He calls us to him. He disciples us through his word and through the church body. And then he empowers us by the Holy Spirit to go. So one of the statements that Dr. Ragland and Dr. Riley impressed upon all of us is to do your best and the revenue will follow. Always do your best job. Okay, don't worry about the profit. That will follow if we do our best job. If we provide the best, highest quality medical care we can with the best customer service we can, then we don't have to worry about the other. Right? So the focus is doing the best job. Hire good people, train them well, and trust your staff to do their jobs. So what does that look like in practice? Give the direction and the training and allow them the room to work out the task. Maybe they don't do it exactly like we would do it. And maybe they make their mistakes. But let them make the decision on how to accomplish the task. Encourage and coach, don't micromanage. So as employees, we tried to do the best we could do. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. For example, sometimes the appointments are scheduled wrong. Sometimes you've sent a doctor out to see a downed cow that you forgot to tell him to put up, and the doctor gets there and the cow jumps up and runs off. That's a classic veterinary one, okay? Sometimes communication is bad. Sometimes your vaccines weren't updated correctly. You know, we made mistakes. And sometimes it takes time to correct the mistakes, and it makes it frustrating in the day because you're already behind schedule. We were always held accountable to our mistakes, but always treated with respect. There were no temper tantrums, no demeaning words. They showed self-control even when you got them frustrated. So I'm not saying any of us was perfect. We had our ups and downs, but we had a trust in our relationship because we saw them stand for their values. Honor God, show integrity, be honest, patient, and self-control. We knew that our bosses would stand up for us. They had our back. So I personally remember a time when a client was being very belligerent to me, and I hadn't been there that long, honestly. It was probably maybe 98 or, it was just a year or two in. So he's being very belligerent, yelling at me over the bill. And I tried to take him through it, but he kept getting louder and nastier, and Dr. Riley heard him from the back. Dr. Riley came out. He told the man that he would not allow him to talk to his staff that way and said he could pay the bill on whatever he thought was fair and he could just go and never come back. And he did. What I learned that day was that the owners expected the clients to follow the same values that we did. And they held them accountable to it. So what do you think that did for the morale of the employees? Trust and loyalty jumped through the roof, right? So as I said before, I was a Christian before I joined the team. But the longer I worked for them, the more I saw the difference that kingdom principles being used in running the business made. I began to understand more about how Jesus wants to be in all your life, your home and your work. And this isn't just a Sunday faith. In my own experience, I saw the fruits of the Spirit used in many situations. In one instance with Dr. Ragland, I had only been working a few months here as well, when we had yet another man yelling about having to wait. And he came in, he was mad, he was shaking his finger in my face, and then one of the doctors that was there tried to calm him down, tried to de-escalate the situation. They took him into an exam room, but you heard their voices, one getting louder over the other, trying to talk over each other, and it was just escalating. Dr. Ragland comes in the back door. He walks in the room. All of a sudden, you didn't hear anything. And then in a few minutes, of course, the other doctor left, and then the man left a few minutes later, completely calmed down. And I looked at that situation, and I said, wow, I so want to be able to do that, right? So that was probably one of the first moments that I really saw that peace and calm displayed, and it made a huge impression on me. In our discussions over the next few years, I came to realize what I saw was the Holy Spirit working through. When we started, we had about 15 employees, and within a couple of years, we grew doctors and staff to over 30. And with larger teams come larger challenges. You have differences in training, in protocols, personalities. There's no such thing as a perfect team, just because people aren't perfect. But we had a pretty good thing, and we still do. Our team has always been, as we tell people, there is no such thing as no drama, but there is such a thing as low drama. So everyone who works for us comes for a reason. No one ever comes by accident. Years ago, someone asked me if you had to be a Christian to work for us. And I said, no, you don't have to be a Christian to work here. We look for friendly people who want to work in a busy environment. We hire for good attitude, and we can train the job. Except, of course, for veterinarian. You do have to have training on that one, as everybody understands. So we've had many people come through our doors, Several of us have been there over 20 years or more. Vast majority of us over 10. Even, you know, when you're looking at the longevity of our employees, is tremendous. And most people leave for other opportunities. They're moving to another area. Very few leave over disgruntlement. Very few. So over the many years, all of us were helped by encouragement, prayer, teaching, and many other ways. The owners invested time in us by getting to know us. Dr. Riley impressed upon us the importance of savings, and Mr. Waters' talk last month really reminded me of that, because we remember discussions with him on, you need to put away for, you know, he was very good at coaching us on that. Many times, Dr. Ragland would open a discussion in the surgery room while he was doing surgery with somebody. Getting to know people, where they were at, meeting them, and just learning about them. And they would discuss, you know, anything that you wanted to, you know, whatever's going on in your life. They met you where you were at. So Don and Jackie could always discuss any viewpoint as well, without getting defensive or any, you know, being upset. You know, they have such a peace and confidence in Jesus that it really displayed to others. They knew that whatever their questions were about the Bible, they could come and say, hey, what about this? So I myself had many discussions with both of them, and that led me to really explore and study the Word more. And all of this prepared me for our next challenge, how to transition from their ownership of the company into a secular ownership of the company. In 2012, the owner sold to VCA, a large corporate veterinary practice, because VCA matched their view of both high quality medicine and benefits for the employees. As they would tell you, they were led to sell to VCA and felt like it was the right move. And I would have to say that overall, it's been a good transition. We have continued to grow and now have about 47 employees. And interestingly enough, our practice got noticed in different ways that we didn't really imagine. We have always been very successful, I think, because of those kingdom principles. But when we went VCA, we got noticed at the corporate level, and that's in Los Angeles. They were in meetings, and at that time, through 2012 to 2015, many of practices were not doing well across the country. They were having a lot of challenges in some of the practices they had, but we weren't one of them. And when our numbers would go up and they would say, well, you know, how does this practice have 8,000 clients? You know, and of course, our regional director at the time was a Christian, and he said, well, they pray. Because they were like, well, how does that happen? They pray. And the leaders at VCA said, well, maybe we need to get the rest of the practices to do that. But even after that, some of the feedback we got from that is people, even Christians in that environment in VCA, came to him afterwards talking about faith. He said that actually opened up doors for him to even share that he didn't realize, you know, for some of these people. So you never know what ripples are in the pond, right? So I've noticed that all companies want their teams to display biblical values. They don't want to admit where they come from. But all companies want people to be respectful, honest, caring, and they want people thinking of other people, right? So many companies are adopting a servant leadership style, realizing that they will retain staff if the staff are empowered and encouraged. In my position, I have a lot of conversations with people. I try to be a good listener and point people to Christ when I can. I learned from Don that when you're in a leadership position, you need to be careful not to alienate employees or appear to be showing favoritism by pushing into conversations about faith. I will talk with anybody about Jesus, but I will let them initiate the conversation. much like Becky said a few months ago in her talk, that in a secular environment, it is frowned upon, or you would think it would be. And sometimes it is that, and mostly it's that fear that of that offense that's going to lead to a mushroom cloud of legalities, right? So we let God lead the way. You know, you're going to have those. If you're in business, you're going to have those discussions. But if you let the Lord lead them and you don't try and push them, then you get situations where you're not even at work having discussions, right? So biblical leadership has continued at VCA Raglan and Raleigh. The influence of the kingdom principles that were taught to us have taken root in the lives of those that are working there. We try to give our staff clear vision, we state our values, and we try and live them out in front of them. And I am blessed to work alongside Christian friends who share those values and care for their teammates and the clients. As I started preparing for this talk, this has probably done more for me than even for you all, just because it makes you take yourself back through, where are you at? What is your purpose? You know, where are you going? And I had a staff member come to me and told me that they knew the Lord brought them here to heal. The caring nature of the people that they work with on the team and the willingness they had to pray over the people going through things on that team at any moment, they'd pull them into a room and say, "Let's pray." That had touched her heart so deeply. So what better testimony can we have to the influence of that biblical leadership? And we are still confident that no one comes to us by accident. Any questions?
Well, this is a prime example of what we've been talking about, how your mission field is wherever you are. You don't have to be overseas. You don't have to be in the inner city. Where the Lord plants you is your mission field, and you have the opportunity to disciple people just by the way you behave and treat them, which can open doors to the conversations. So that was wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm working on a financial advisor for the next meeting, which I'm thinking might be April 27th. You'll hear more about that coming up. So, no questions? Thank you for coming. Yes. Yes. You let that light shine and they see Jesus and no. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for coming, and be safe on your travels out of here. Thank you.